Learn Persian with Chai and Conversation, Hafez's Badafshan, Introduction with Thadi Chafinuri.
سلام لیلا جان. Good to be back.
سلام فرید جان. Great to be back. So we're here talking about Hafez's poem Badafshan, and we are on a Hafez kick. And if you haven't heard our previous episodes, we waited. You know, we've been working on this Chayan Conversation / Fadi Chafinuri Radif Retreat poetry project for a long time, for years now. And we waited until this year to do Hafez. And now we're just going Hafez, Hafez, Hafez.
Yeah, he's a favorite of all of ours, and I think Hafez is the type that keeps you on your toes. You're not sure which way he's going with his poetry. So it's fun to explore more Hafez with you, Leila John.
For sure. And there's so much to explore with Hafez, and we've said this before that when you start looking into Hafez poetry, there are certain words that he uses, certain phrases that he uses, and the more you read, the more you can kind of unlock these phrases and words and understand the meaning even more. And this poem is really, really special, and we're going to get into that in just a second. But first, for those of people who are new to you and new to Radif Retreat, can you tell a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what Radif Retreat is?
Yes, for sure. My name is Fadid Chafinuri. It's always wonderful to be here with all of you lovely Persian aficionados. And Radif Retreat is a school of online music, online school of music for Persian classical music. So if anyone here is interested in studying about the Radif, Radif being the immaculate collection of rhythms and melodies that has been transferred over generation to generation, it's truly the custodian to classical Persian poetry. So it's lovely to teach Persian poetry alongside Persian classical music.
Right. And so Fahid comes from that perspective of being a musician first and foremost, and he has been studying Persian poetry for so long, which is why I love doing this project together of reading poetry. And we have a long history. If you listen to previous episodes, you'll hear us talking about, we have decades long history at this point, getting together and talking about poetry. So it's wonderful to be able to do that with all of you now as well. And so now, this specific poem, speaking of decades-long history, one nice thing that we talk about with poetry is that just like music, which you can memorize music, like Yo-Yo Ma talks about this all the time, how he's been learning Bach since he was 4 years old, and you know now he's in his 70s, and he has changed over time. The music hasn't changed, but because he's changed, the way he plays that music has changed. And so poetry is the same. It's something that you can memorize. It's the same words over and over again. But as you age and as you gain more experience and as you change, that poetry can really change for you as well. And that's one of the beauties of memorizing poetry, is that those words become part of your bones and you carry them with you. So this poem in particular is one that you have years of experience with. So can you talk about that a little bit?
It was 2007. When I was in Iran, actually, I think you and I were in Tehran at the same time at that era of our lives in our mid-20s. And I had a dear friend who was going back to the States, and she did a Fale Hafez. As we know, Fale Hafez is the concept in which you grab the Divana Hafez, the book, and you pick a poem and you allow that to be a forecasting or a type of fortune-telling for you, or some sort of message Hafez may have for you through the centuries. And this specific poem was her fall, and it really moved me. It was a love. There was a lot of love drenching from each word, and I was inspired within 5 to 10 minutes. It transferred over into a melody, into a rhythm, and before I knew it, 3 weeks later, I recorded my song Badafshan, based off of this poem in Tehran in that summer of 2007. And it's lovely to revisit it now and to jump into all the meaning, the multitude of meanings that kind of falls in each of these words that he uses, Hafiz. And yeah, so 2007 till today, it's a long time. It's great to revisit it with you. Absolutely.
Wow. And a few things. So this song has also been a part of my, you know, listening for a long time. It was on your album, and we'll link to that song in particular. It'll be wonderful for students to listen to it as they are learning. But also, you're revisiting this song and creating it into something new, which we won't talk too much about, but we'll surprise our students with it as soon as it comes out. We will let you all know. So this song is also being reworked. But also, another really wonderful thing about this poem, it was actually the first time that I heard the word gisu, because, you know, growing up in the diaspora, this is not a word that we use very often in conversation. So gisu, can you say what gisu means?
Gisu is another very poetic way of talking about the wonderful, lavish locks of hair of the beloved. And when they say gisu, which is also now a name for women, for girls are named gisu, it's a term that when they say gisu, it's a really beautiful way in which it even feels when you say the word gisu. It almost has a French kind of quality to it. And it really refers to locks of hair.
And how amazing that since 2007 until now, you know, hair has always been this important part of Iranian culture. This poem is basically an ode to gisu, an ode to hair. And how amazing that since then till now, you know, through the Women Life Freedom Movement, gisu has become an emblem of Iranian women, of Iranian strength. So that's something that I'm really excited to look at this poem now with that lens of experience that we have. That's really cool.
Absolutely. It's always been a symbol of freedom to a certain degree. In fact, a couple hundreds of years ago, there was a poet, a Baha'i poet, a follower of the Baha'i faith by the name of Qurrat al-Ayn. And she actually was one of the first of her time in that era. She was a poet, a wonderful poet, and she removed her hijab or her burqah, and we'll learn these words as we move through the poem. And she lost her life in that process. And this is a poet, a female poetress who used her hair as a sign of freedom and rebellion from the system. So here Hafiz very beautifully weaves a story using the hair of the beloved, explaining how emancipation really starts with your self-expression and with yourself.
Great. And so as in every other episode, what we're going to do is that we are going to read this entire poem to start. Faid's going to read the Persian, and I'm actually going to read a translation that he provided for us. So Faid's translations are never literal. It's always kind of explaining the meaning an interpretation of the line. And as always, this first episode, Faid and I are going to go over the entire poem, the meaning, the background, and maybe we'll make some discoveries along the way as we're talking. And in subsequent episodes, I'm going to go through the poem word by word, line by line, and go through these phrases that we're going to learn and see how we're going to use them in current conversation. By the end of this series of lessons, you will have completely learned this poem to where it is in your bones and you will have memorized it. And we will ask you to send us a video of yourself. Where, Fadi?
Somewhere beautiful on this planet Earth.
That's right. Somewhere in a beautiful location. Very important that have you reciting this poem and by memory. And at this point, you know, if you're new to our program, that this might sound like a daunting and impossible task, especially if you're new to the Persian language. But believe me, our program makes it really easy for you to learn and join us in memorizing that poem. And I will just say before we read it, or before we get into the lesson, that we have information about Radif Retreat on this show notes for this lesson as well, because music is such an important part of Persian poetry, and it's wonderful to integrate all of these things. So not only will you integrate the language, you'll learn about how to integrate music and everything. And I'm very excited to go on this journey with you. So without any further, Fadi Jan, can you go ahead and read the Persian?
مدامم مست می دارد نسیم جدگی سویت.
Wind flowing within your hair forever intoxicates.
خرابم می کند هر دم فریب چشم جادویت.
Magical deception within your eyes forever destroys.
پس از چندین شکیبایی شبی یارب توان دیدن.
Night after night patience I try to see the beloved.
که شمع دیده افروزیم در محراب ابرویت.
To light a candle in the altar of your eyebrows.
تو گر خواهی که جاویدان جهان یک سر بیارایی.
If you desire to beautify this world for all of eternity.
سبا را گو که بردارد زمانی برق از رویت.
Simply ask the morning wind to take off your veil.
وگر رسم فنا خواهی که از عالم براندازی.
If you desire to remove mortality from this world.
برفشان تا فرو ریزد هزاران جان زهر مویت.
Simply rise and break free, shake and scatter your head around, birthing a thousand lives per strand of hair.
Yes, it's pretty dramatic.
All right. Yeah, wonderful. And as always, I'm so excited to get into the language of this poem because it's so much more powerful when you read it in the Persian, although your translation is very beautiful as well. But it takes a lot to translate all these meanings of these words.
And the story about translation and the literal translation versus one that captures more of the essence of the message is one that I think many people, many literaries throughout time have really battled to somehow that balancing act. There's a nice little tightrope walk in which you're trying to convey really what's being said without putting too much of the self into it. So these translations are somewhat of a transpiration and ways to think about it. But I'm excited to really jump into this with you for sure.
All right. So let's take it line by line and let's go through. We've already talked about the word gisu, which we start the poem with, which means locks of hair. So let's read that first line.
مدام مست. مدام meaning forever, consistent. مدام. مدام مست. مست being drunk. مدام مست می دارد. I'm held forever drunk. می دارد. نسیم. نسیم being the wind. نسیم جدگی سویت. So the wind that travels through your hair forever holds me drunk. And here, whenever we speak of intoxication of smell, smell is a big sensory expression in Persian classical poetry and oftentimes points to musk or the Persian word being mushk. And here, when the wind travels through the hair in the olden days, musk was used, and as you know, musk came from the belly button of a deer. It was a...
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a little side
as you
note.
Know.
as you know, musk... Okay. And even to today, I remember when I was traveling in India, actually, years ago in the bazaars, they had... The guy said, there's musk for sale, and I know it was like a ball of like brown stuff that kind of felt gooey. And he said, yes, we got this from the deers that live up in the high altitude. So it's like the higher the altitude, the more prized is the musk. So every time we speak of intoxication of smells that run through the hair or brushes against the cheek, oftentimes it evokes the idea of mushk or musk.
Well, I want to talk really quickly about these keys that we said in Hafez's poetry. So we just did a poem for Nowruz. And do you remember the first line of that Nasim Baad Nowruzi?
Zekuye yar mi ayad Nasim Baad Nowruzi. Yes, so Nasim here is often used.
So that line was saying, from the alley of the lover comes the wind of change of Nowruz. So Nasim, again, we have that word Nasim, which is this wind that is coming through. And then Mast, we didn't have that in that other poem, but Mast is a big, I mean, it comes up in basically every Iranian poem. And like Fahid said, it does have layers of meaning. At the most literal meaning, it means drunk. So I become drunk off of this wind flowing through your hair, right?
Right, right, right.
And so you can become like intoxicated by this like smell, which, you know, that gives such a visceral feeling when you hear that.
And you know that Hafez poems don't necessarily have names. So we named it Badafshan for our lesson here because the name of the song that I wrote, I picked that specific word out of the poem to call it that. But most Hafez poems are strictly known by the first line. The entire right. first line becomes the name of the poem because he never named his poem. So here, and what's interesting about that is the fact that the first line becomes what's known per poem, you have to ask yourself, what caused Hafez to write this? So it's very clearly, very literal, in my opinion, that he smelled a beautiful lock of hair in some capacity, and this poem poured out of him. That's how I think of these poems, is that's the first line is the first spark of inspiration that brought him to writing this.
And can you say again, what does that word modam mean? Modamam mast midarat?
Yeah. So modam means constant. Modam. Modamam, I am constantly mast. I am constantly drunk. Midarat, as dashtan miyad, which means that the nasim, the wind, has me forever drunk. I'm forever intoxicated. Nasim jatigi suyat.
Okay, wonderful. Now let's move on to the next line.
Kharabam mikonad hardam. So the word kharab here is a very powerful word. And it can be used in a multitude of meanings. In colloquial language, when I say, Baba, kharabam kardi, kharabetam, it's a very dramatic way of saying that I'm destroyed, I'm falling apart. Kharab literally means broken.
I'm ruined.
Ruined. But kharabam, kharabam. And the way that this word is expressed is with such awe and but agony, but a type of agony that you enjoy. So he says, kharabam mikonad, mikonand. Mikonad means that I have become just completely broken here.
That's right. And in this case, you know, kharabam mikonad goes hand in hand with that idea of masti, so being intoxicated. So it is just like ruined me, you know?
Absolutely. Kharabam mikonad haradam. And here the term haradam, dam means moment, right? But dam yes. also means breath. When exactly. we say damit gan, may there be warmth to your breath. But Miguel, with every breath, at every moment, haradam. خرابم می کند هر دم فریب چشم جادویت. The word فریب means to deceive or deception. فریبه becomes possessive. فریب چشم means the deception of your eyes. جادو, جادویت. جادو means magic. جادویت means your magical eye. The deception within your, yeah.
And jadugar means like a witch. So it's that kind of magic, like your witchery. That's yes. how I see that line. Your witch, the deception of your eye, your witchery eyes.
Exactly. Your eyes are deceiving in a magical way because when you look into the well of the beloved's eyes, you also see yourself and you're seeing all of hasti, all of eternity there. So There is a level of deception when you're staring into the abyss. The abyss is staring right back at you.
Wow, what a seductive first two lines. It's very strong imagery, and you can just see this, like the smell and the sight and the feeling, all of it together. It's very sensual.
Well, it's very sensual, and the terms mast and kharab. Mige baba man mast o kharabetam. I am completely just intoxicated and broken by you. But it's the type of broken that everyone wishes they were.
That's right. All right, the next.
Hasaz chandin shakibai. Hasaz chandin. So for many nights, after so many nights, پس از چندین شکیبایی. And I say nights here because پس از چندین, usually when they say پس از, after so many, moon. Here it doesn't say the word night, شب or ما, right? It says پس از چندین شکیبایی. And the term شکیبا, which is also a name given to girls, شکیبا means to be patient. To be unpatient, to not have patience, is to be ناشکیبا. But here, میگه, پس از چندین شکیبایی, after so many nights of me being so patient, I've been so patient, so many nights, شبی یارب توان دیدم. One night came in which I saw my یارب, my یار, my beloved. So یارب here is a term that evokes the beloved. توان دیدم, which means I was able. توان means ability, دیدن is to see. I was able to see the beloved one night after so many nights of being patient.
Nice. Okay, I think that one's pretty clear.
That's one pretty clear. And then we move on to the next line. که شمع دیده افروزی در محراب ابروید. که شمع, شمع meaning candle. شمع دیده, دیده here means basically the eyes. شمع دیده افروزیم. So the more literal term here, I wrote the translation to be to light a candle, but شمع دیده really means the inner light of the eye, the light of the eye. شمع دیده افروزیم. To افروختن, افروز is to light, right? در محراب ابروید. And the term محراب is of altar, a space of worship, space of prayer. And mehrab here, I've used the term altar for it. Abru, abruyat is the eyebrow. So, kesham edida fruzin dar mehrab abru.
Wow.
I've waited so many nights. I've been so, so patient to finally see you. Why? Because I pray to your eyes. Your eyes have become my Mekke. They have become my Kaaba. They've become what I pray to.
Wow. So, I want to just point out that in the first line, we had the jade gisuyat, so we had the hair and the smell. We have that over there. Then we have chishme joduyat. Then we talked about the eyes of deception, or the eyes of magic, you know, witchery. Then here we get to the mehrabe abruyat. So now we're talking about the eyebrows. So we're just going through and like painting a bigger and bigger picture of this person, right? And that's really nice.
And here in the next few lines, there is a bit of a communication where Hafiz is speaking directly to the beloved.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with the word tul, which means you.
In the informal sense. So it's familiar.
Absolutely. So Hafiz says, togar khahi, if you want, if you desire, togar khahi. Kijavidan. And the term javidan means basically to be given life, to be given some sense of eternity. Javidan means to be always alive. So it's immortal as opposed to mortal. To gar khahi ke javidan jahan yeksar biyarayi. The term jahan means the world or the universe, the entire cosmos. Jahan. To gar khahi ke javidan jahan yeksar. Yeksar means one at one time, at one instance, with one snap of your finger. If you wanted to have the whole world to, and biarayi comes from arayidan or araste, which means to beautify, or we also have the word arayesh. Whenever women put on makeup, they arayesh mikonan. اینجا میگه, if you want to see the world beautiful, to gar khahi, but for all of eternity, javidan. If you want it forever, but yeksar means with one snap of your finger, essentially. Ye dafei, one time. Moves on to the next line. Now he says, okay, if that's what you want, if you're seeking the world to be as beautiful as you are, essentially, you get saba ra gu. Now, the term saba is another term for nasim. نسیم سبا مشک فشان خواهد شد. عالم پیر دیگر باره جوان خواهد شد. So the term نسیم سبا basically means the morning wind, and it's given the term سبا. So here it's saying just گو سبا را گو. گو means to speak. Speak with the morning wind. Why? So you can ask the morning wind to blow off that veil over your face. میگه سبا را گو که بردارد. بردارد means to take off. Zamani means ask the wind to take off at some time, at some instance. Zamani burqe. Now the term here burqe is an Arabic term, which means there is a face mask, especially in the southern parts of Iran and towards the Persian Gulf. Burqe is a beautiful mask that covers the face and the nose, and you can actually see, they're really ornate and really gorgeous, actually. You see it all the time. Burqa az ruyat. But here I use the term veil because these are all metaphors to a certain degree. It is talking about the physical, the burqa, but it's also talking about what's preventing us from seeing the beauty in the world.
Got it.
If you can't see the beauty in the world, you have to remove the veil that's preventing you from seeing it.
Right.
And it's very empowering. It's saying, just take it off. You'll see it. You'll see how beautiful everything is around you. So in a sense, this beloved Layla could be a person. It could be the beloved, or it could be the beloved as in all of us. It could be a message. And in a sense, for me, Hafiz is speaking more to society and here, right? He's giving a message. And then if you move further down into the next line, This kind of piggybacks off of that, because again, it's another conversation that Hafiz is having with the beloved. وگر رسم فنا خواهی. So in the line prior, he's saying, تو گر خواهی که جاویدان. So if you're seeking eternity in life, and here he's saying, وگر رسم فنا خواهی. فنا means, رسم is a tradition. فنا means annihilation. But the term فنا has a multitude of meanings in the Sufi tradition. And if you speak to Sufi masters and people who are very well versed in the world of Maulana, Rumi, they'll speak about fana and all of its multitude of meanings and what does it really mean to annihilate. But in a sense, in this sense, because he speaks about the term Javidan, you can piggyback off the idea of one is speaking about life and giving life eternity, then this must be the other side of the coin, which is some sense of death, right? Or some sense of mortality. If you desire to remove mortality or to remove death from this world, essentially, as alam barandazi. Alam is another term for jahan. Alam means
the world.
The world. Barandazi means to take away, to barandokhtan, is to remove or to revolt even against a government. Yaman barandazam, right? And here is saying that if you're trying to get rid of death in this world, my favorite line, which is what this term I used for the name of the song, is barafshan. Barafshan. And the term barafshan, afshan, it comes from the root afshan, which means to scatter about. But when it says barafshan, there is a sense of revolt and breaking free and rising. So the term barafshan, to really describe, this is one of those words that's why my translation tries to embody its meaning in a multitude of ways. It says, simply rise and break free, shake and shatter your head around. Barafshan to fururizat. Fururizat means to fall from. Break and scatter your head abound so that it can. So hezaran means a thousand or thousands or infinite. It's an arbitrary number. It doesn't actually mean 1000. It just means many, right? Infinite. Mige barafshan to furu rizat. Break and shatter. Take off the hijab. Take off the veil. Take your hijab off so that per strand of your hair you can birth thousands of lives.
Multitudes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that brings up, it brings up a lot of imagery for me of like, you contain multitudes. Like, take that off and see how much life is within you, you know? and how much like power is within you. And it brings up so many images of exactly of that like woman life freedom movement that we saw of like these like, you know, just like hair and like the power and strength of women's hair.
Absolutely. And you can tell that through the eons, the symbolism of your hair as a symbol of your freedom has gone hand in hand. And this actually transcends Islamic traditions and in the Middle East. Hair has always been a symbol of oppression. When gender apartheid has taken place in many parts of the world, one of the first steps is to assign a dress code, and specifically to strip them of their sexuality and their sexual being. And hair was that symbol, because hair is a sign of freedom. And here, when it says barafshon, that term, there is revolt within that. And afshon means to scatter.
I want to go back. So then the fourth to the last line, togar khahi kejavi dan jahan yeksar biarayi. So it's saying, again, your translation of it, if you desire to beautify this world for all of eternity, right? And then it says, sabaragu. So it's saying, ask the wind. So it's something out of your control. You're saying, get the wind to come, take this off, and ask for them to take off this burqa from your face, right? To take away this mask from your face.
It's actually, I don't see it as a lack of it being out of your hands. I see it when they speak of sabo or the morning wind, it's a very personal relationship between one. Because in the early morning hours, you're not surrounded by society and people. You're by yourself. And when it says, seek, look to nature, look to the wind.
Mm.
My love is wild as the wind. I would love for everyone, if you haven't heard that by Nina Simone, listen to that song, Wild as the Wind. And this idea of the wind being a symbolism of freedom. Mm. What's more personal and empowering than your relationship with the wind? Who can get between you and the wind? No one can.
And the wind, the Nasim, is what brought this the scent of the hair to the lover as well in the very beginning of the poem. So that's a nice connection. But I still see a more passive strand in that sentence than at the end where it says, Barafshan. That's such it's a command. Barafshan ta, you know, it's very like, go for it. So we end this poem with just this like empowering command, you know?
Absolutely. And to what you're saying in that first line there, Sabaro, Sabaro buke bardarat zamani burqa az ruyat. Speaking of Javidan, which means life. If you want life, if you want to see beauty and more life in this world, go to the wind. Speak to the wind. It's all around you. And then in the last is saying that if you're trying to get rid of this tradition of annihilation or mortality, if you want to see death removed, and death, the symbolism of death is a multitude here. It's saying that just go crazy. Take it off. Let your hair be loose. Shake and scatter your head around. Birth a thousand lives per strand of your hair. That's how you give life into this world. That's how you remove death. That's how you bring beauty into this world. Be free.
That's awesome. So what do you feel like this poem meant to you then? Like, what was it that really drew you to the poem then? And how has it changed for you throughout you've been with this poem for so long?
Absolutely. I mean, today it's taken on Layla. It's completely taken a whole different meaning. And after the Woman Life Freedom movement that we've all sustained and have been, even till this day, we're living in the Woman Life Freedom era of the Iranian peoples. Back then, it was a very personal love song for me. My love and my testament to my dear friend at the time. And it had just like kharab. I was completely kharab at that era, and it was a personal love song. But today, Hafiz speaks to me at the ripe age of 40, 41, in a different way, and I see it as a message to that inner beloved within all of us. And this is one of those times where, as literal as I like to read Hafiz, I personally prefer the literal interpretations of what he says is exactly what was going on at his, at that time. But here, essentially, there is a message that's really asking everyone to somehow, hey, it's, again, you are the beauty, you are the life, and it's in the locks of those hair, let it out, let it free.
That's really nice. I feel like it's kind of speaking to women, but as a man, you kind of get that same message and you kind of internalize that as well.
Yeah, absolutely, because there is a genderless quality to the beloved. Right. I mean, the burqa was for women. It is for women.
Right.
So here it does take on a feminine presence by evoking the idea of the veil, the burqa. But the message of burqa, again, there's symbolism of that. It's a mask. It's some veil of deception that we allow, we walk our days with. There is that famous story by Khalil Gibran, How I Became a Madman. And in that story, he talks about, oh, he wakes up and his seven masks have been stolen by the side of his bed. He runs out into the roof of his building and he starts screaming and he was naked. And he said, the thieves have stolen my masks. And everyone looks up at him laughing, pointing at him, saying, look at the madman. And it was at that moment, which for the very first time, he felt the sun on his face, and thus that's how I became a madman. So the mask is the veil, the burqa is literally something that we all have. We may not put a physical cloth covering our face, but it's something that prevents us from, you know, we hide our own beauty. We're afraid of our own truth. We're afraid to join that eternal beauty, to join the life where we are. Bounding ourselves and with the Woman Life Freedom Movement, the message is very much the same.
Yeah.
It took one, it took two, it took 20, it took 1,000, it took now a whole generation of Iranian women to stand up and to basically tell the whole world who we really are as a people.
I think it's so cool that hair in Iran, I mean, that is kind of the line that they really draw and they just try to hide and they are not succeeding at this point. Like if you look at videos of Iran, I mean, they're trying and trying, but now the cat is kind of out of the bag at this point and women are letting their hair show. And it's such an existential threat to the Islamic Republic. And so I think it's so cool that this poem, when we read it, and, you know, in the subsequent lessons, when we go over word by word, phrase by phrase, and you really learn these words and you get your own meanings out of this, I think it's so cool that this poem really talks about the power of that in a literal sense, you know? It's and like you said, like you took this poem very literally in your 20s. When you were in love, it was about a one person, you know, it showed the love that you had for this one person. And now it's become something greater than that. But that's why this poem works on such a good level, is that, you know, that is also very important. The love of one person is very important. The downfall of an Islamic republic is also very important. And it works on all of these levels. That's so cool.
Absolutely. And I think it's that spark of inspiration that ultimately leads us down these rabbit holes. And what better spark of inspiration could Hafez had than the actual scent of hair through the Bagh-e Iram, or the gardens of Iram and Shiraz. I'm sure that's where he probably wrote a lot of his poems.
Amazing. Well, Faizjan, thank you again for another really wonderful poem by Hafez. And we'll link to Farid, where you can find Farid on the show notes for this. And we'll link to his project, the Radif Retreat, which is we are doing these lessons in collaboration with Radif Retreat. So thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us again.
And Daid will be with us as we learn the additional words and phrases for this poem and as you turn in your videos as well. So thank you again. And until next time, Khuda Hafiz.
Khuda Hafiz. Bye.